So, should we start from the beginning again?
Yeah.
Good idea. We get an accelerated beginning, because it's already Wednesday, which means we're going to be studying the fourth reading of Parshas Bereishis. So, Adam and Chava had a mitzvah, just one, and they didn't listen, and they got the boot. And that's how the fourth reading opens up. Vayemer Hashem Elikim, the Lord God says, Hein ha'odam hayoka achad imenu. Now the human being is changed. He's compromised. He's proverbially speaking like one of us. L'das tevara. Now he knows shame. Now he knows embarrassment. He knows the difference in good and bad. Ve'ata pen yishlach yodei, lest he stretch forth his hand. V'lokar ka me'itz achayim. Now he'll eat not only from the tree of knowledge, but the tree of life too. V'ochal. He'll eat, v'chay le'ilo, and then he'll live forever. So much to say about this little verse. It's anything but little, but we're going to focus on the next two verses. V'yishalcheyu Hashem Elikim migan Eden. So God sent him away from the Garden of Eden. Why did he send him away? La'avod es ha'adama, so that he might work the land. Asher lukach misham, that he was taken from there. So the Torah is very explicit in telling us that Adam was sent away. Vayishalcheihu. So the Ibn Ezra says, why does it say Vayishalcheihu? He sent him. Sounds like being sent on a mission. The Ibn Ezra says that when somebody is sent away, it's not a positive. He's basically thrown out. Like, okay. You can go now. He's sent away. When Rav David Kimchi, Rav Dach says similar, he says, we talk here about not a mission, not Adam being given a mission, but rather a shiluach, which is of gerush. He's driven away. So it says he was sent away, but even in English sometimes sent away means driven away. All right, so the Torah chooses not to use the word driven, not to use the word vayigoresh. Torah chooses to use the word vayishalcheyu. Then comes the next verse. Verse 24, it says, Vayigoresh esa adam. That the person was driven away. Here it says driven. Vayashkein mikedem ligan Eden. He settles or lives in the east area, east of where the Garden of Eden was. Esa kruvim ve'esla tacherev ha'misapeches. So then there's these cherubim, these angels, and there's the rotating blade, which is lishmar es derech etzachayim, which is sure to guard the way to the tree of life. So just as we open the reading by saying, God said, lest he eat now from the tree of life and live forever. So that's not going to happen anymore because there's guards. It's protected. He can't get there. So the question is, why in verse 23 does it say, Vayishalcheihu, and we have Ibn Ezra, and we have Radak telling us that this is being driven away. And then in the next verse it says, Vayigoresh. First of all, why does it change tenses? Why does it change words? If it's Vayigoresh, why isn't Vayigoresh both times? But then, of course, you could ask another question. Why do you have to say the same thing twice? It says he was sent away in verse 23. It says he was sent away in verse 24. What happened? What's the difference? So the Ibn Ezra says, Vayigoresh es ha'odom emphasizes that the Vishalcheo that he was sent, he was indeed sent on a mission. He was indeed sent to do something. Namely, he was sent la'aved esa adama. He was sent to go and work the land. However, once he was sent away to there, to la'aved esa adama, from that point and onward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensured that he could not make his way back into Gan Eden. So being sent out of Gan Eden doesn't prove that he was thrown out of Gan Eden. But when you can't go back in, when the door slams behind you, and then there's kruvim and alata misapechas, these little monsters or demons or angels, and they have a rotating blade, you can't get back in, then you know you got thrown out. Incidentally, the Psaji Goan says that kruvim are malachim. And Ibn Ezra says that there's an opinion that it means like young creatures or young looking, which is similar to what Rashi says when we speak about the concept of the Kruvim on top of the Ark. And he says, as a rule, all of the different angelic or like, I don't know, celestial creatures, they're all, Kruvim is just like a, that's the general word that's used. Cherubim is a general word. It doesn't specify. It doesn't tell you exactly what it is. And the interesting thing is they were anything but cherub-like or cherub-looking. We tend to think of cherub or cherub-like as young and innocent, like a baby's face, as Rashi speaks of what, with the Ark. But the Chizkuni says that these were terrifying-looking creatures. Tzuris mafchidis, he says. Or Rabbeinu Bechaya says, these are malachim from hell. So you don't want to meet these guys. At any rate, he definitely got thrown out. So that's the emphasis here. And that's why it says, Vayigodesh, because in verse 23, all we know is that he was sent Lavidus Adoma. In verse 24, we know, as a matter of fact, that this was a Vayigodesh. And the proof is because now there's Kruvim and La'atamis HaPechas, and he can't get back inside. And the Rekeach suggests that Adam actually tried to get back into Gan Eden. He said, okay, I got sent away. I'll try to go back home now. He said, oh, no. The road was blocked. The door was closed. He could not get through. So it really dawned on him. This is when he really got it. Up until verse 23, he thought maybe he was getting sent on a very important mission. He's part of his punishment. He has to work now. But he didn't realize he was never going back. So now in verse 24, that's when it explicitly states the word Vayigodesh, that he was really driven away. Interestingly, Rashi doesn't really deal with this at all. He doesn't kind of explain the Vayigodesh. Maybe it's implicit, maybe it's self-understood, that because the Pasuk, verse 23, says Vayishalcheu, and it says Lavid Sadama, so there's an evident that he's being, he was driven out. It becomes evident, becomes obvious, when we hear of the Kruvim and the Lat Acherev is HaPechas, the blade of the rotating blade. Where did he go to? So Rashi tells us, Mikedem Ligan Eden, he went Mikedem, and that's where the Kruvim were, in the eastern side, Mizrach Shel Gan Eden. The Kruvim were not inside the garden, they were outside the garden, so that Adam couldn't get back into the garden. And Rashi says, Kruvim, Malachi Chabala, angels of destruction. So he seems very similar to what the Beit HaBechaya, what the Chizkuni says. We're talking about dangerous looking creatures here. There was no way Adam was playing games. Cherev HaMisapeches, a rotating sword. So Rashi says, it doesn't mean that God put a shining blade. The Lat is like the flashing sword. So what people say, swords flashed, people say, or the flash of a sword. So the Lat, that's really what it means. It's like a flash of the sword, the shining of the sword. So the Cherev HaMisapeches, it is the sword that's rotating, the blade itself is rotating. The law, and this rotating blade, had a flash, V'lo Lahat. So it's not a rotating flash, it's a rotating blade, but the rotating blade, I guess, caught the sunlight, and it had a flash to it. La'ayim alav, this was to frighten him. So you had this malach chabala, scary-looking creatures, and you had the flash of a sword. It's like a person sees the sword flashes, God forbid, a person will get terrified by it. So this was to warn Adam not even to come close. Milikonis Eidgan Eden, do not come back to this place. And Rashi says the Targum interprets the word lahat as shenan. Shenan means sharp. As we find, and this is in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says shlaf shenana, which means take out the blade, the pointed blade, or the flash of the blade of the spear. Obelashan laz, Rashi gives us a French word, maybe it works for some of you, lama. Medrash agada, yesh vani eni ba ela lepshuta. There are various agadic interpretations of what this rotating blade means and why it's necessary to have a rotating blade. Amalach chabala. And Rashi says, that's not my job. I'm here just to talk to you about the simple, straightforward meaning. So this is the opening volley of these psukim. And now, to have a better understanding of Adam HaRishon's being driven from the Garden of Eden and divorced, if you will, from Hashem, we're going to take a look at the words of a Zohar and then see how the Rebbe explains that. So go to your Birum book, and we're on page Tzadik Dalet. Page Tzadik Dalet. Okay, the Zohar reads as follows. Vayigoresh esa Adam. The person was driven out. Literally, vayigoresh means divorced. That's the term for divorce. So what does it mean, vayigoresh esa Adam? Omar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, lo yodaino man ovid terichun, leman. We don't yet know who divorced who. Iko chabricha ovid terichun la Adam. Did God divorce the first human, Eloi, or not? Avol, mila ishapich, vayigoresh es. But we have a word which can be understood in different ways. Vayigoresh es daika, man girish, who divorced? Es ha'adam. Who divorced? The person divorced. Ha'adam vaday girish es. The person certainly is the one who divorced, so to speak, the presence of Hashem. Begin doc, Siv, because that's the case. That's why it says, Vayishalcheinu Hashem Elokim Migan Eden. That's why it says, God sent him away. God sent him. God didn't divorce him. Amai Vayishalcheinu, why did God send him away? And the answer is, begin the Girish Adam Es. Because the person divorced, Vayigoresh es ha'adam, so es is thee, and thee here speaks about the Shekhinah, the presence of God. So read the verse, not Vayigoresh es ha'adam, not and the person was divorced, but rather Vayigoresh es, he divorced thee, or it. And who divorced it? Thee? Ha'adam, the person. So that's what the Zohar says. So according to the Zohar, the words Vayishalcheyu, the fact that we use in verse 23 the words Vayishalcheyu Hashem Elokim, when it says what God did, it says Vayishalcheyu, God sent him away. But it says the word divorce, that doesn't show up until verse 24, because Vayigoresh es, who divorced? Ha'adam, the person divorced. So the Rebbe begins to analyze and explain this to the Zohar. Hazor mistapik. The Zohar seems to be in doubt in trying to grapple with and understand the meaning of the pasuk, the words Vayigoresh es ha'adam, and he divorced the person, was one way it could be read. Does it mean that God divorced the human? Or does it mean the opposite? Maskonas hazoyer, the end of the Zohar's conclusion is sheyesh lahapech es hamilim, that we should transpose the words. Ula farish, we should explain this, sheha adam hu shegirish es hashchina, that it was the person, the human, who divorced the presence of God. V'zeo apidish, so how do you understand the meaning of vayigoresh es? Because vayigoresh es ha adam would mean, and he divorced the person. So the Zohar said, es is a kinyan l'shchina. Es is a euphemism referring to the divine presence. Vayigoresh es, like God is it, thee. He divorced it, thee. He divorced the presence of God. And because he divorced, lochei nenesh begirish from Gan Eden. That's why he was punished, and that's why ultimately he was sent away from Gan Eden. But it was Adam who drove God's presence away, not the other way around. Ulechayre, the Rebbe says, divri hazer tumuhim. The words of the Zohar are actually a little bit shocking. They're very, very, like, astonishing. Harei borur, it's very clear, shemashmos hakosav isha kodesh baruch hu girish es ha'adam migan Eden. It's very clear when you read this verse straightforwardly that God is driving the human being out of Garden of Eden. It's very clear. We read verse 23 together. We read verse 24 together. We looked at various Mefarshim say, and there's no question that God drove Adam out of Gan Eden. That's what happens. Verse 23 and in verse 24. It's a continuation. So why the Zohar seems to force an interpretation which is not what it actually says? And Zohar is like, it's forcing something. It's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. It's not the way these verses are read. It's just not. It's not how it is. So why does the Zohar do that? V'yesh l'farish. So here's the Rebbe's explanation as to why the Zohar seems to choose to twist the words or to present the words in a non-literal iteration. Bavadai, the Rebbe suggests that without any, beyond any shadow of a doubt, ein hazoyer b'lechalek al mashmo esapshuta. The Zohar does not come to deviate or differ with the straightforward and obvious meaning. Certainly, everybody knows the Pasuk says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu girish es ha'adam megan Eden, that Adam is not in charge. He doesn't get to divorce God. Out you go, God. I don't let you be in Gan Eden anymore. It makes no sense even. Of course, it's obvious that the Pasuk here is speaking about Adam, the human being driven from Gan Eden. That's obvious. The Zohar doesn't come to dispute that. V'divrei ha-Zohar amurim, the words of the Zohar are stated, loy biyachas la'etzam ha-girush, not to the actual driving that took place here. Elo, rather, biyachas le'goyrim le'girush zeh. The question is, what was the cause for all of this? All right, what does that mean? So the Rebbe explains. Bir hadvar. Be'oinshei ha-Torah matzinu shnei sugim. When it comes to punishment, and there's a fair bit of punishment in Torah, there are two kinds. Yeshnam einshim, sheim teitzo tivis shel hachet. There is sometimes a punishment, which is not really a punitive measure as much as it's a consequence. Kach, that is to say, shebemaisa ha'avera mevi ha'odom al atzmei es ha'inish. Through behaving sinfully, a person engenders this consequence. Kamesha Kosov, like it says of Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Tiyasreka Reyascha, your own evil will chastise you. It's your evil that will. This is what we would call Mida Keneged Mida, but Mida Keneged Mida is not God says, you did this, I'll knock you back with this. No, Mida Keneged Mida on the straightest meaning means you make the bed, you sleep in it. You ate like a horse. Okay, so now you have now you're obese. It's not a punishment. The punishment for eating like a horse is obesity. No, the consequence for eating like a horse is obesity. So that's one kind of einish. There is a consequence. That was the purpose of einish. The message of einish for us is that everything has a consequence. Everything has a price to pay. You want to do something? Remember, there's a price. Everything comes with a price tag. A price tag is not like, if you do this, I'll come at you, and you'll find out, you'll taste a bitter price. No, it's just matter-of-factly. That's what sin does. If you want to have a relationship with God, then you do mitzvahs. If you want to lose your relationship with God, chas v'shalom, well, then you do the opposite. If you rebel against God, you're going to lose the relationship with God. Not that God comes at you and wags a finger and says, you know what, you turned your back on me, I'll show you how I'll turn my back on you. No, it's a natural consequence. Sometimes. And then there are times when the einish is not the natural consequence. It's not an einish. Teitzah, teitzah, tivi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manishes Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the person. Of course, we know that Hashem loves us and it's corrective punishment. But when the child runs into the street, the child needs to be taught that that's a dangerous thing to do. And because the child might not understand, and because we don't want to wait until Rahman al-San, the child sees somebody get hit by a car, so he runs in the street, what does a normal parent do? A normal parent gives him a spanking, gives him a punishment. And he gets a punishment, and the kid learns it's a bad idea. Why? Because I'm going to get a punishment. It's not the natural consequence. The natural consequence of running into the street is getting hit by a car, chas v'shalom. So the natural consequence, we're hoping not to see unfold here. What is the unnatural consequence? Well, done what the parents did. They said, if you do that again, you're going to get spanked. So the kid doesn't want to get spanked. So the punishment is a remedial punishment. It's not a natural consequence. And this is mibli sheyi a nikud hakesher bein einish or bein aveda. You can't really see a natural line or continuum. The child doesn't understand how A leads to B. He's just being told that that's the matter of fact. And this, my dear friends, this is the question of the Zohar. The question of the Zohar was Adam being punished by God, or was this the natural consequence? That's the question. When God warned the human, he said, don't eat from this fruit. Omarla, he said, on the day you will eat, so help you God. You eat this, you'll die. Kiloimer. Sha'ainish hativi. She got him aide chet ho misa. It's like saying, eat the poison, you will die. Well, what if I want to eat it? Well, then you'll die. Achbapoil is chadish kan in ainish nasif. But as a matter of fact, that's not what happened. He did eat the fruit, he did not die. Ha'adam, the person wasn't warned, if you will eat the fruit, you'll be kicked out of Gan Eden. He never got that warning. This is a different punishment. This is girush, this is divorce. Getting divorced or kicked out of the marital home, that wasn't something that Adam was informed or warned of. So then comes the question, what kind of punishment is this? The punishment if you will die seems a natural consequence. God informed Adam, this is very bad for you, this is toxic, you will die if you eat this. Instead, he got divorced. Ha'im gam hu ba kitetzah tivis shalachet. The Zohar is asking this question. Was this also the natural consequence? Is this something that was engendered? Was it natural that eating from this fruit would land you on your bum, kicked out of Gan Eden? Or shahachet garem rak la'inish misa. The eating of the fruit naturally caused death, which Adam wasn't supposed to die. Now he's going to die. It did cause that. Ve'ilu hagirish miGan Eden, the divorce or the getting driven out of Gan Eden, that's in einish noisiv. This is an additional punishment. Sha'Allah beretzenish darkadosh baruch hu. God said, you did that? Now I'm going to drive you out of Gan Eden. You will no longer live in a marital home together. You will not have the closeness that you enjoyed before. You're going to live a very different kind of life. That wasn't the consequence. That wasn't what Hashem warned to begin with. That's the question of the Zohar. This punishment, where did it come from? What kind of punishment? Is it a punishment that's understood in the terms of a natural consequence? Or is this a punishment, as we understand, punishment, because you did this, God says, now I punish you, such and such will take place.
But if God says you're going to die, you're going to die.
Yeah, he is going to die. Doesn't seem to be instantaneous. You definitely will die from eating this. You weren't going to die, you are going to die. So the Zohar therefore explains, what is the Zohar getting at? The words the human are superfluous. We know who the subject here is. And if you look in verse 23, it says Vayishlachenu Hashem Elikim miGan Eden. It doesn't say Vayishlachenu Hashem Elikim es ha'adam miGan Eden. It says God sent him away. So why does it have to say Vayigoresh es ha'adam, God sent the human in verse 24? It simply could have said Vayigoresh, he was sent away, Vayashkin miKedem leGan Eden. Or Vayigoresh, Vayashkin miKedem leGan Eden es ha'kruvim. Which is the proper way. Not that he went to the east, but in the east. Obviously, he must have gone out that way, but the door was blocked. So the words es ha'adam are totally superfluous. Hare yedua lanu kvar. We know who this is talking about. There is nobody else. Hayetzarich leyomer vayigoreshehu. It should have said, he drove him away. That's how it says it in earlier pasuk. It doesn't say vayishalach, it says vayishalchehu. So the same way it says in verse 23, vayishalchehu, he sent him away, it should have said in verse 24, vayigoreshehu. But it doesn't say that. Umikach anolu meidim. So from this we learn, shevenoisif l'pshat ha'kasuk, besides the literal meaning, which nobody is disputing. The Rebbe says, the Zohar, of course, agrees. It's not a question. Obviously, vayishalchehu, God sent him away. Adam doesn't call the shots. God calls the shots. Adam doesn't get to chase God away from anywhere. But in addition to this, the Zohar says you should know ha'adam hu shegurash. It is the person who divorced. It's the person who drove away. In other words, yeshlid v'lishgam ha'seremes shebedavar. We should also expound this verse fully and appreciate the subtle subtext, the additional messages being conveyed to us. Sha'adam gidish esashchina. The person, the human, chased away the presence of Hashem. Hamachuna es. And in doing so, bekach meramez hakosuf. In doing so, the pasuk indicates shegidish ha'adam miGan Eden, that the chasing of a person out of Gan Eden, of the human out of Gan Eden, was teitzah tivis shel chetay. This was the natural consequence. It was mida keneged mida. It was one thing naturally engendered or domino affected the next. Mekiven sha'adam chata, because the person sinned, which in effect was girish as hashchina, chased away the shechina. Lakach therefore gurash afhu miGan Eden. You divorce or drive God out of your life, then God drives you from that idyllic situation. And the Zohar wants us to know that this too ultimately was a natural consequence. The This is a message to start our everyday life with. The natural consequences, my friend. These are not holidays, these are everydays, but every day Hashem's presence could be in our life if we so choose it to be.